scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley here with you as always alongside the great and powerful Nick Kieser. Nick, how we doing? What's going on?
Feeling great and powerful. Whoa. Okay. Awesome. I will take
you've
it.
Ever received?
I'm astounded by that. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, it's good to be back on the program after a 3-0 win against the Chicago Blackhawks and UC Saros's second shutout of the season. He hasn't had very many of those lately. I know that we'll talk about him throughout the program for sure, but I'm doing well. The great Roberto, Robbie, is in the house, so glad to be back on this program and talking about how this team's done. And there's a lot to look out for, and there's only 5 more home games this month, So we will be deprived of home games. But looking forward to seeing how this team does moving forward. And one player I want to talk about later, Gus Nyquist, he is 34 and looking like he's 25 out there, so yeah, lots to get into here. This is a fun team right now.
It's been an interesting weekend and start to the week for them. So you go Friday night in Detroit in what was a wild game back and forth between them and the Red Wings, and they end up getting a point out of that one. Probably deserved to win it and felt like they left another point on the table there. But you follow it up the next night, you get the shootout win in overtime against Washington. What a cool story for Yaroslav Askarov getting his first career win, and it goes to a shootout, and he's staring down the barrel of Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin. He stones both of them in the shootout, and the Preds win on goals by Nyquist and O'Reilly in the shootout. So far, the Preds have been in 2 shootouts this year. They're 5 of 5 scoring goals. That's a pretty good percentage. You'll keep that up as long as you can. And then you follow it up with a game last night, Nick, against Chicago. And look, let's be honest here. Chicago is not good. They're a bad hockey team, and they've gotten worse as the year's gone on just based on injuries and people leaving the team. You know, they had Corey Perry to begin the year and Taylor Hall, and those two guys are gone. You know, Andreas Athanasiou's been out for a while. They got a lot of guys banged up right now. So it's a bad Chicago team that was iced out there last night. And look, I didn't think the Predators played particularly great. You know, they had a good start in the first period, got the 1-0 lead, probably left a goal or two on the table to kind of build on that. And then it was really kind of boring the rest of the game, to be honest with you, until the final few minutes of the third period there. But the only thing that matters at the end of the day is you get the win. And I think it's a situation this week, Nick, where you've got Chicago at home, you took care of business there, and then Thursday, coming up tomorrow, you've got Calgary. And these are 2 games, in my opinion, that you got to win. And you've taken care of one of those. Now an opportunity at home against the Flames coming up tomorrow night. You know, we're approaching the halfway point of the regular season, which means there's still a ton of hockey left to be played. Having said that, now's the time of the year where just me personally, I start to pay a little bit closer attention to the standings and where teams are at and what the positioning looks like because it's going to be a race to the finish in the second half of the season, and you got to take advantage of these points if you're the Preds.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And the most important thing is what I already kind of talked about was the fact that the Preds only have 5 more home games this month. And one thing Andrew Brunette has harped on when speaking with media, at least, and I think he's done this at practices throughout the entire season, even going back to training camp, was he wants this team to be really difficult to play at Bridgestone Arena. And for a really good reason, obviously, but he's starting his regime here in Nashville on a note where now they're 6-5 in their last 11 games at Bridgestone Arena since November 25th. So he talked about that a couple of days ago before they had morning skate yesterday. And for me, when a coach is bothered by something like that, it speaks volumes to what his expectation is for the group. And then I think also to Tommy Novak and, you know, a guy like Cody Glass and Luke Evangelista, all 3 of them are sort of the younger guys that he's wanted to see more out of. And so I think in order for this team to have continued success and to rise in the standings like you're talking about, which is very important this time of year, those guys have to be very, very good, and that has to be where your secondary scoring comes from. You're not always going to get it from Gus Nyquist or Ryan O'Reilly, even though that they played really well in Detroit and lost. And I didn't realize this, that the Preds had only given up 20 shots against the Red Wings, and that includes overtime. And so, I mean, Chicago last night was on pace to be shooting Nashville below 20, and that would have been Nashville's lowest number of the season in terms of taking shots. But Saros gets the win. I think for the Predators taking on the Flames, like you said, that's a must win for sure. The Flames are not what they've been, and I think Jonathan Huberdeau scored his first goal in over a month last night, which I was listening to the post-game show here on 102.5 The Game with Max Herz and Jay Moore, and that's what they said. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, he is a shell of himself. I think he had over 120 points two seasons ago. So you might see a pretty feisty Flames group come into Nashville tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that. But I think another thing that I'm encouraged by, maybe just in this last little bit, is just how Philip Tomasino has been playing. I think he's been a super fun player to watch, Robbie. He's been a guy that I think had the slowest start to a season a young guy possibly could have, and now he's truly rising above that challenge that he had on himself. And so it's nice to see him thrive with guys like Yakov Trenin, and then also with Cole Smith at times, which Cole Smith is now on that roommate line per se. But yeah, this group is still very fun to watch, and I'm liking to see how some of the younger guys are slowly but surely turning things around. Now we're waiting on Cody Glass to kind of do that.
Well, and you know, Gus Nyquist now is on a 6-game heater in terms of just the point streak that he's at, and he looks really good. I mean, you brought up, he scored his 9th of the year last night, and I got to say, when they signed Nyquist, I thought to myself, okay, well, he's a veteran guy. He's been around the league for a while. Maybe you could use that to be, you know, a trade chip for you at the deadline and pick up a mid-round pick, and, you know, you could add to the draft capital that's already been stockpiled pretty well over the last couple of years. And the way that he's played has so far exceeded my expectations for him. It's been pretty fun to watch him play. And, look, I know he's on a line with Forsberg and O'Reilly, and obviously that helps when you're playing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly and the opportunity that he's got there. But it's one thing to be given the opportunity. It's another thing to take full advantage of it and run with it. And he's done that. Like, Nyquist fits in really well with those two guys. And he's fit in well on the power play, too. I think specifically the last week, I thought against Detroit, he was awesome. I thought he was awesome in that game. You know, played well against Washington as well. Was good again last night. But the Detroit game, I thought, was Nyquist's best game of the year. I thought he was just outstanding. He was all over the place in that game. And, you know, I don't know that he's going to end up being, you know, some 20-21 goal guy, but he just looks so smooth out there, and he's making the right plays every time. And I think he has far exceeded. If I had to, you know, we're getting close to the midseason here. If I have to give like the biggest surprise on the Preds award for like the positive surprise, I mean, it would definitely be Nyquist. He's played really well.
Absolutely. Here's one piece of trivia for you that I pointed out to Max. Since he's been moved away from the Red Wings and playing them as an opponent, he had never scored 3 or more points against them. So that was a huge game for him in Detroit, despite losing in overtime. And I think this was another thing that I saw last night and was talking about with a few different people, was the fact that Nyquist became the oldest player in Predators history to have at least two point streaks in at least 6 games or more where he's 34 years old. And he's put up, I believe it was a 9-game point streak, which was his second best in his career earlier this season. Now he's currently on a 6-game point streak. So we'll see if he continues to do that. The last point streak he had 2 goals and 10 assists. And right now he's looking really good. 3 points in Detroit, like we've already been talking about a lot. And so I think for him, I'd be curious to know why he's playing so well. He's been, you know, pretty upfront with how he's feeling about playing right now. I think that that's in just a good response that we've also heard from Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. But I even asked Gus in passing the other day. I was like, do you remember who you played with your first year in Detroit? And he said, Johan Franzen and Henrik Zetterberg, names I've not heard in a very long time. So
two pretty good names, though.
I would love to hear what those two guys would have to say about how he's playing right now. Those two guys are obviously retired, but those were names that the Predators fans may know if you've been here for a long time. And Gus Nyquist, a long time ago, was tearing it up. He had 28 goals in his first full season with the Red Wings and hasn't really ever gotten back to that ever. And I don't think he's even gotten to 15 since the 2020 season when he was with the Blue Jackets and the San Jose Sharks more recently there as well. So good stuff from him, Robbie. It's encouraging to see a guy that's older but doing really well, as is Ryan O'Reilly. So can those two continue to lead the way, and how can they develop the younger guys in the locker room? That's the main question moving forward.
You brought up Tomasino. It feels like he's generating some offense every night now, and I think that's been encouraging, especially when you consider who he's playing with. And look, this is no disrespect to Michael McCarron, who I think has done a really good job in the role that he's in so far this year. But, you know, Michael McCarron would be the first one to tell you that he's not, you know, at the NHL level, what you would consider an offensive centerman. So that Philip Tomasino has been able to come in really recently and play really well and look consistent and generate offense that way, I think is really encouraging. And I do wonder, you know, as good as those two look together, and they've kind of switched that third guy up on that line a little bit at times throughout the year, is there a point where Brunette says, you know, I really love the way Tomasino's going right now. Do you give him maybe more of a higher opportunity? Be that with a Novak, be that with a Glass if he gets back in the lineup, a Sissons. I mean, they're not going to break up that Ryan O'Reilly line. We know that. So it would have to come on one of those other lines. But I'm interested to see if he keeps playing this way, what that opportunity could look like as Brunette continues to evaluate his lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that stands out to me, you talked about Philip Tomasino. I think when I asked him about Cody Glass the other day, he had brought up that when he does get his chance to come back in the lineup, he'd like him to have the opportunity to stay in the lineup. And so that's been the biggest problem with Cody this year. Got a story up on thegamenashville.com. Go check it out. Talking about what Cody's kind of had to deal with this year mentally. And appreciate Chris Mason for the shout out not that long ago talking about that, which was very cool. So thanks again. But I think just getting to know these guys as human beings and getting to see how they deal with being a pro athlete, there's a lot of pressure. Even Tommy Novak told me that yesterday about how he and Luke are putting a lot of pressure on themselves to be really good NHLers and trying to see what that truly does take. And so this is a group where that's the expectation. That's what Barry Trotz wants out of this group. And so, you know, who's going to stay and who's going to go, though? Because a lot of those guys also are on one-year deals right now.
Coming up next, you'll hear an interview from Stillman & Company with Predators assistant general manager Brian Poyle. Lots of things happening right now in the organization, both with some of their junior players down there in Milwaukee and, of course, here with the big club as well. Interesting conversation with Brian Poyle coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Let's start with this. What a great road trip. I mean, I get anytime a team loses in overtime, I get super disappointed because it's weird. You still get a point out of it. But it was a really competitive game that you could have won, and then it comes down like that sudden death moment. So you end up, you know, getting the 1 point the first. Then you go on the road to Washington with Askarov and net. You guys get the win there. And all of a sudden, it feels like just when I feel like this team's starting to maybe turn it down a little bit, then they turn it back up. That must have been a really, really big way to end the year for you guys.
Yeah, it was a really good way to finish up 2023. I mean, I thought they were both winnable games. I think we could have, should have won the Detroit game. We could have played a little better to win that game. And then to come back, respond on a back-to-back like that versus Washington, it was a really good win and really good for Askarov to get his first win.
So I'm watching the game on my, you know, on my couch. I'm not from Russia. I've never been to Russia. I don't watch that Russia propaganda RT television. You know, I don't know. I don't, again, I'm not from Russia. But to see Askarov, as young as he is, go into that shootout with Ovechkin coming down with a chance, you know, really, if I'm sitting there watching and thinking, if Ovechkin misses his shot, the Predators are going to win the shootout. And for Askarov to make the stop and to have the game that he had Saturday night. That has to get not only you guys really excited, but it probably has to mean a lot for his confidence, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to come up under those circumstances, too, where he got a chance to come in that game and play versus that team against, you know, that is the most popular team over in Russia. The mm-hmm. Washington Capitals are, obviously, with Ovechkin. So to do it in that fashion was great. I thought he had a good game. I thought our team played hard in front of him. I know the guys were battling hard. And then after the game, I went and talked to Yaro and congratulated him, obviously, on how he did. And he was really excited for what had happened. And I asked him two questions. One, I don't know if you watched the game, you would have saw that every time Kuznetsov or Ovi took a shot on him and he saved it, and there was a whistle blown, they came up and talked to him both times. So I said to him, what were they saying to you? And he said, oh, Kuzi, I know Kuzi. I've gotten to play with him before, and he was telling me some jokes in Russia. He said, with Ovi, he didn't know Ovi before, never played with him, never on the ice before with him, who's arguably the best Russian player ever. He said he was talking trash to him. And then to have the game unfold like you just mentioned a few minutes ago, we're close to a situation where we weren't going to win the game at all. Goal gets called back. We win the game in a shootout. And for him, to try to put this in comparison to folks who in North America, as if you were a Canadian kid, to have these two guys go up against you in a shootout would be an equivalent of like Mark Messier and then Wayne Gretzky going up and shooting up against you. And this is what Askarov got to. So huge moment for him. I mean, I asked him, did his family stay up and watch? They watched the first two periods and then went to bed and watched the next one in the morning. His friends were texting in the morning. Pretty special moment for him personally, but even to do it against his countrymen, that was pretty neat.
Brian Poyle's with us. So a couple weeks ago, I asked Barry, I said, okay, I told him I was friends with Santa. Like, I'm Jewish, so I don't celebrate Christmas. So I grew up with Santa and I know him pretty well. And I said, if you were going to ask Santa for something, what would you ask Santa for? And he said he would ask Santa for offense, which I was like, okay, some secondary scoring from Santa. When it comes to putting this together, right, how do you guys go about looking for ways to improve the current team while also balancing out that there's a whole offseason in which you guys have to prepare for the future of the team?
Yeah, excellent question. I think that's what's happening right now. If you look how we're dividing and conquering, so we've got myself, who's with the team right now in Nashville, Scott Nichols with the team in Milwaukee, Barry and Jeff Kelty over in Sweden watching the World Juniors. I think that's exactly what we're doing. So we've got an eye on development in Milwaukee, what's happening in Nashville, and looking at the draft for next seasons. But you're exactly right. You're having to focus on all those different areas at the same time to try to make a difference. So we're always looking to improve the team here, see who we have available in Milwaukee, and then also for the draft and trade deadline coming up. So it's a balancing act for sure.
Have you gotten any calls so far about people early trade season kind of kicking the tires ahead of trade season? Just to, hey, you guys have all that cap space. We're going to want to add, you know, maybe a defenseman or something like that. If we do, we may need to run it through you in order to keep our caps. Do you have those conversations yet, or when do those kind of start?
Yeah, another good question. So in terms of the cadence of how the year goes, most teams, they make it through this World Juniors because it's the most important tournament to this point in the season for amateurs and for the draft. And then most teams have their amateur and pro meetings in mid-January, right after this. So then the teams will get together with their amateur group, get together with their pro group, and that at that point, that's when they start formulating their game plans for what they want to do for the rest of the season, trade deadline, off season. So most of those calls you're talking about are about to happen probably about in 2-3 weeks from now.
Is there like a slick way that you guys go about doing this, or is it going to be just a, hey, we got all this cap space, we know people are going to want to add. We may want to add, you know, when talking about you looking at yourself and say, hey, might want to add something here without mortgaging anything big in the future. But then, like, maybe a hesitance that, oh, if I pick up the phone and I call Detroit, then Detroit's going to think, oh, they've got me. So now I've got to try to figure out a way to get Detroit to pick up the phone to call me. Are there games at that level that get played at that point in time?
So as far as strategy, I think, and specifically cap, if we just take those two things you're bringing up to me, we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. So we have as much cap space as any team in the league on every given night right now. So we're in a really good spot to utilize that cap space either for our needs or to try to help someone else and get something in advance for it. So I think that will be a big part of our discussion when we get together with our pro scouting meetings, is what can we do with this to help our team in the immediate future and in the future? What are maybe some teams looking to do for players that they need to jostle spots? Because most of the teams that think they've got a legitimate chance of winning the Stanley Cup are all capped out right now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need a middleman or something to happen. And so hopefully there'll be an opportunity for us to take advantage of those things.
Do you think that there's going to be, Brian Poyles with us, assistant general manager of the Predators, do you think that there's going to be any massive changes on the NHL front with the Predators that we all know? I feel like, you know, and one good week or one bad week might change this one way or another, but I feel like this is going to be like a constant every night fight until the end, and either this team's going to make it or they're going to be right on the cut line out like last year. I certainly don't think that we would think that the Predators are at a point where, you know, competing for the cup is probably likely. I mean, I think anything's possible, but I think we would say it's probably not likely. So with that, do you think that this team could make a big addition or big change, or do you think that, as Barry has said, he's not going to sacrifice the future of the Predators just to help out the immediate future of the Predators, but is there a way that there can be something that checks both boxes?
Yeah, I think there could be, and I think that's our job to look at all those different things. I think we definitely want to help the team now, and I would agree with your assessment. I think every night it's shown so far this season, we're battling, we're working hard. Mm-hmm. We're in every game, regardless of who we're playing. We've beat some really good teams this year, and we've lost a few games we should have won. So I think you're probably right on where we could possibly look to finish. So we're going to be in that, potentially, that right in between spot. So I think what Barry's already told you is probably still spot on, is we're not going to probably leverage too much of the future. But I think we're still looking to add. I mean, if you look at what's happening with our team, even with the new additions this summer of Nyquist and O'Reilly and Shin, those guys, I mean, those were additions. And mm-hmm. I think those guys have been hugely helpful to our whole group in helping your young guys and grow. So I think we're going to continue with that same progression. And if there's an opportunity to utilize cap space, take advantage of what another team needs to do, and we can help our team the same way, we're going to do it.
I look at the addition of Ryan O'Reilly, and I think to myself, you know, right after the draft, Barry sat down and said, I have to decide who's going to be here and who's not going to be here, and who do we want to be the leaders of this team going forward. And I just heard that as I was sitting, and it was kind of like, you know, okay, that's kind of like GM talk or whatever it was. And then the next day, Matt Duchene got bought out, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what that meant. And then Ryan O'Reilly got brought in, and there was some, I wouldn't say like sentiment or, but there was, I think, a little bit of a fan angle to this, which was, that's too long or that's too much money. I have figured out that if I were to say, hey, we need to get a defenseman, right? Well, and we got $5 million to get a defenseman. You can go get a defenseman for $5 million because you'll have about eight guys. And so the guy that we really want is going to get six. So then we don't. But if somebody, if you really want somebody, like that one individual person, that you have to go target that person. You guys did that with O'Reilly. Do you think he's been even better than you thought he was going to be when you brought him in? Because every night I watch him play, and I know Forsberg is putting the puck in the net every night. Every night I come away saying, thank God this guy's on the Predators.
Yep. I would agree with you. I think Ryan's been fantastic for our group, for the things you're seeing on the ice. So you're seeing what he's doing to help Forsberg. I think so far, again, the season's still early, Forsberg's the most committed he's been so far, meaning every game, night in and night out, super consistent with how he's playing, his effort level, and it's showing in his productions. That's just one example. The Nyquist added to line's helping, and I think we also have all these young centers, whether it's Cody Glass, Tommy Novak, Parsons, been back and forth, to learn from Ryan O'Reilly, to see what he's doing. So just to give you an example, what you're maybe not able to see is at practice, for example. So even morning skates, Ryan O'Reilly, the practice will be over. The guys will then go do additional drills. Maybe defensemen are working at one timer, centers are taking faceoffs. We'll go through all that. That'll be over. And then still, if you watch the practice, Ryan O'Reilly is still out on the ice. And a lot of times he'll grab the guys who aren't even playing in the game mm-hmm. and want to do work with them. I mean, just to speak of what that true leadership and mentorship is. So I think he's been excellent both on the ice, but also all the things he's doing off the ice, leadership, doing all the right things. He's been a really good addition.
Now I'm going to ask you the other side of this, of what's up with Roman Josi? I'm not going to say he's not playing well, but he has not been this season as consistent in both ends as I am used to Roman Josi being.
I, th- I think Roman's been good. I agree. I think we've any Predators fan who's been with us for a long time has seen Roman at all-star caliber, where he's been one of the best defensemen in the league, and you're seeing him night in and out, rush up the puck, carry the puck, help produce, help kind of lead our offense. I think I would say a couple of things is maybe you're accurate at the moment that Roman still has more to give and his season can get a little better. And two, I think the way the system in which we're playing under Andrew Brunette has changed a little bit. If you see now we're doing a lot of different things to move the puck up quicker up the ice versus where you're probably used to seeing Roman constantly be the one taking it from our defensive zone, weaving through everybody.
Yes.
And that's exceptional skills that Roman has to be able to do that. There's not a lot of defensemen that can do that in the league. But I think the system has changed a little bit so where he's not having quite as many puck touches, especially in the neutral zone, as you may have remembered him from last time. But offensively, and also I would say power play-wise, where he typically had kind of been everything ran through Roman on the power play. Now we've got a lot more options on our power play. I think our power play is more diverse than it's ever been. More options for scoring, more options for plays. So it's not everything's running through Roman as much. So maybe I would say combination of what you're saying with Roman could have a little bit better season, but also systematically things have changed a little bit.
Brian Poile, Predators assistant general manager. Brian, thanks for stopping by as the lone wolf in town here. While everybody else is out in Sweden and Milwaukee and everywhere else.
Come back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Calgary Flames. Interesting interview with Brian Poile there. Like we said, lots going on with the Predators right now. And one of the things that Jared brought up with Brian Poile there was the kind of the approach at the deadline, right? So we're still a ways away from the deadline. They've only played 38 games so far, so we're not even at the halfway point of the season yet. And yet, we're getting close to the time of year, Nick, where you start to, if you're a general manager, if you're in the hockey ops part of your organization, you have to start to kind of forecast out and begin to talk about what decisions you're going to make. So if you're the Predators, you're sitting here today as play begins tonight in the league. You're in the first wild card spot. You're 38 games in, and you've played more games than pretty much everybody in the Western Conference that you're in direct competition with right now. But you're the first wild card spot. You're up 3 on Arizona. Edmonton's kind of lurking in the background. They played 3 less games than the Predators have, by the way, and they're 4 points back. And it feels like Edmonton's kind of coming along a little bit here. So you're trying to hold some teams off behind you. Meanwhile, you've got kind of one eye ahead of you, too, with Dallas and Winnipeg and Colorado being that trio in the division that's been right there all year. You know, the Predators, they blew things up last year. They made a bunch of moves. Obviously, Poile retired. They moved on from John Hines at the end of the year, and it was a changing of the guard in terms of the leadership and the direction and all those things with the franchise. And Barry Trotz has been very vocal about patience, and it's going to take some time to put together a team that ultimately can compete for a championship. I think it's fair to say, Nick, that this group this year has probably exceeded expectations a little bit, and Barry Trotz has even spoken about that to this point. So if you're Trotz, if you're the hockey ops part of this, trying to make some decisions here, what do you think the approach should be at the trading deadline in terms of you might be in a playoff spot by it comes around? Like, what's the value of adding to the team for today and the benefit of this group today, while also keeping in the back of your mind that you still have kind of that long view in mind as well? It's an interesting kind of balance that Barry Trotz is going to have to find a way to thread the needle if they remain in the same position that they're in right now.
Yeah, of course. And one thing to keep in mind is the Predators also have about, let's see here, Cap Friendly has the Nashville Predators with about $8.2 million in cap space, with the cap also going up moving forward during this offseason. So good to see that the NHL is growing, so that's going to allow for some better deals to be signed eventually, which will help every single team in the NHL. So here's what I would think of, and there are quite a few unrestricted free agents on the Predators that could possibly be of interest for teams that are kind of for sure playoff teams. And so look, I think as interesting as this may sound, I think even a guy like Yakov Trenin could be a guy that reminds me of how Vegas, they went out and got someone like Ivan Barbashev to help them go on their deep, you know, Stanley Cup run. And not to say that Trenin is exactly like a Barbashev, but you could see a team that goes, we like how Trenin plays physical. He finishes in front of the net. He's a great penalty killer. You know, that could be a great asset on the market. I don't think Nashville would necessarily give him up for nothing necessarily, but you know, he's a homegrown product. So does Barry Trotz keep a guy like that? I mean, Trenin would be a great guy to keep here as a mold piece, but look, I think another thing that comes to mind quickly as well is what can they do with Tyson Barrie? We are well aware of his, I don't want to say displeasure, but maybe a little bit with what's been going on with him.
Displeasure is fair.
Yeah, I think it is. But, you know, seeing him with an upper body injury currently right now as what's listed by the organization, you know, I think for me, he's coming up on being the most scratched player by one more game. So we'll see how many more games he's scratched before he's traded. I think it will be in the double digits for sure. We could even get closer to 20 if he stays here the entire season for sure. So I don't know. Look at a guy like not a guy, but a team like Chicago, who has a lot of cap space and a lot of other expiring contracts. Just for the remainder of the season, think about, hey, Chicago, they could easily take on Barry's salary. Chicago could give Nashville a prospect and just dump him off. Now, not to say that Chicago is interested. That's not reporting. It's just an idea. But I could see Nashville dumping him off for a prospect or just for somebody that could fill a space in Milwaukee. But Milwaukee's pretty full. So I'm not too certain that they would just deal Tyson for nothing necessarily, because they do like him still. Relatively, I would say, because he's played on the power play. So, but right now, those are the first things that come to mind as well. Anyone else that's serviceable, the Predators are good on defense with Alexander Carrier and Dante Fabre. Those are two guys that could be moved as well. So I guess time will tell, but those are the guys that come to mind for me, Robbie. How so about you?
You're viewing it more as like a selling off kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it more as like, is there an opportunity that would be out there where Barry Trotz would consider buying?
Maybe.
And, you know, if you're in a playoff spot, I think it's going to be a tough sell to your veterans on the team to start just selling off a bunch of pieces left and right. And I don't think Barry Trotz wants to do that. Like, they did a lot of their selling last year. And I'm not saying that if somebody offered you something you couldn't refuse, that Trotz wouldn't do it. But I do think there is the kind of the balancing act of this team has overachieved a little bit, and they have put themselves in a spot where right now they're in a playoff spot. They're going to be, I think, competitive for a playoff spot the rest of the season here. Is there a deal that could be made that helps your team in the short term that Barry Trotz would be willing to make? Here's what's not going to happen at the trade deadline. Barry Trotz is not going to go give up like next year's first round pick to bring in some player, some rental player to help him this year. Like, it's not going to happen. I think he's made that pretty clear. He has no interest in sacrificing like significant future assets for the now. Now, is there a trade that could be made where there's a contract extension that comes along with something? Could you put yourself in a position like that if you're the Predators? Is there a guy that you feel like could fit in either on your second line or your third line that could really help the scoring part of this that you could get for relatively cheap, be that a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick? Would that be something that Barry Trotz would be willing to do? To me, Nick, if I'm the general manager, I think that's probably about the extent of what I would do. Like, if I felt like I could bring in a forward that could help the scoring punch a little bit and it wouldn't cost a ton, maybe a third or fourth round pick, I'd consider doing that if I'm the Predators. Much past that, like, I'm probably not doing anything this year. Like, I'm certainly not giving up a first round pick.
No.
I'm probably not giving up a second round pick. So no. That's kind of the interesting rabbit hole that Barry Trotz could find himself in, because usually if you're going to bring in somebody that's a huge impact player at the deadline, you got to give up significant assets to do it. And I don't think, barring like some deal that could help you not only now but also with a contract extension into the future, I don't think Barry Trotz is going to do that.
I think that something that I would agree with. Now, one name I thought this summer that the Predators could possibly be interested in was Max Domi. You know, he's with the Maple Leafs currently, and I think for him, you know, coming in with 22 points this year, he's not been nothing for them, but I think Toronto would be interested in keeping him unless that they knew that they were confident with one of their younger players going into the playoffs, but they could be one and done and just keep him. But hey, the Predators could also go for a guy like that. You know, I've also heard things about Elias Lindholm. You know, he knows Philip Forsberg pretty well. I mean, that's a guy that's around the same age. If the Predators were thinking about upgrading, you know, down the middle even more, you know, they could even have him, or he could play wing. But that's if you're more of a buyer as a contender. So I don't think he would be someone of interest. But if the Preds wanted to flip, you know, a D-man, or if they wanted to move off of a D-man in one deal and go grab another one, I really like Brady Shea. I really like how he plays. You know, but the Hurricanes are really good right now, so I would not anticipate them wanting to move off from him necessarily. But if they can't get to a good contract extension and they want to move ways, then look, Preds could go for another solid D-man, honestly. And I'm not going to throw out a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's old as dirt, basically, in the NHL. You got Jonathan Drouin is another name that I thought of as well. He was sort of that reclamation project with the Colorado Avalanche this year. Preds probably won't go for a guy like that. But one depth guy that I also kind of like is Jake DeBrusque. And, you know, he's with the Boston Bruins. But, you know, I'm looking at all of these teams that kind of have a Tommy Novak player, Robbie. And so could the Predators feel okay with what they have? They possibly could. Sure. But I guess time will tell. And
you just cut me to the core, by the way.
I know. Sorry about
Oliver Ekman-Larsson is 32. I'm 31. So if he's old as dirt, what does that make me?
Well, I mean, I'm 25, so I'm getting young there puppy. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, you're really getting old. Can finally rent a car. You're really getting old out there.
Yep. It's good stuff. Me and my s'mores Pop-Tarts are just thriving right now.
Well, look, the bottom line is the Preds have cap space, which in today's NHL is a weapon. Now, just because you have cap space does not mean that you use the cap space just for the sake of using the cap space. Like, I think right now is a really important time to exercise a lot of discretion if you're the Predators, because you basically just kind of pulled yourself out of cap trouble with Johansson and Duchesne, and, you know, you traded away Ryan Ellis a few years ago, and Ekholm's off the books now. And, like, there was a while where, you know, Turris was here, and you had – like, the outlook was pretty bleak in terms of the room you had. And
you've done some navigating
to get yourself out of that. I think you got to be really selective moving forward about who you give long-term deals to.
Especially when you have 11 draft picks.
When you have 11 draft picks. And look, I even throw Novak into the discussion. Like, Novak right now, I don't know what I would do if I'm the Predators. Like, I'm not giving him a long-term deal. That's certainly not happening.
No way.
Would you go 3 years? Would you go four?
Maybe two, like Cody Glass.
Maybe. Like that part of it's going to be really interesting. And, you know, I don't think he's been very good, to be honest with you, since he's come back from injury. So, you know, there's still plenty of time for him to figure it out, and he's played really well for the most part since he's been up with the Predators. So I'm not worried about Tommy Novak. I'm just saying there's a lot of really interesting decisions from a contract perspective that Barry Trotz is going to have to make. And just because you have cap space doesn't mean you have to load up with cap space just for the sake of loading up there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Predators handle that. Well, one more segment coming up next here on Preds Insiders. We'll look ahead to the week that's coming up for the Predators. More thoughts from Keezer and I as well on the state of the current local professional hockey team. That's next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, Robbie Stanley, Nick Keezer here with you. Nick, you brought it up earlier, a shutout performance for Staros last night against Chicago. My guess is he's back in there tomorrow against Calgary. Overall, what do you think of the way that Staros has played this year? Because it has been a little bit, from my perspective, of an interesting year for him. It's not been, you know, just total dominance out there, although he's had more stretches lately where he's looked like the UC Saros that we're used to seeing. The overall numbers for the year, a 291 goals against average, a 904 save percentage. Those are both significantly below where he's at for his career. For his career, he's a 261 goals against and a 918 save percentage. So right now he's pretty significantly below those career numbers. But, you know, he went through a stretch from the end part of November until the middle of last month where he was lights out and one of the best goalies in the league. So overall, what do you think of the way Saros has played, and how do you kind of forecast what it could look like from him moving forward here?
I think he's been awesome. I think the consistency has been good. And I think the fact that Andrew Burnett said, you know, even last night, I'm still getting to know him, but I realized how dialed in he was last night. Saros is also now one of 18 goaltenders to have at least two shutouts this year. So the NHL is not seeing as many great performances from goaltenders. I mean, you have Connor Ingram.
It's an offensive league right now.
I know. You have Connor Ingram, who has four shutouts leading the league with Tristan Jarry, which is kind of crazy to think about. So,
Fred's legend.
Not the year of goaltenders for the Predators. Now, development-wise, Preds used to have Connor Ingram. So, yes, good plug there, Robbie. But
thank you.
I do think for UC's sake, he looks like the prime UC Saros like we saw last season. I mean, he was great from January until April last year, but that was a team that was dealing with a lot of injuries. You know, we're around the same time last year when a lot of guys went down. So can they continue to stay healthy? That's the biggest thing. You know, too, I think what's interesting is when I've asked him about, you know, lanes opening up and how comfortable he feels, he always says he's comfortable. He always says that he's fine. But he is tested a lot of the time against a team like we saw last night in Chicago when they're young and when they're fast and when they're throwing pucks on net when he, you know, can't anticipate them as much as he typically can. And so I think for UC's sake, that's what makes him special is he minimizes his movements, which is really good. I've talked to some goalie friends about how he plays his game and the style, and he's ahead of a lot of goaltenders in terms of where he's at and staying consistent wise. And so that's a special talent. That's why he's as good as he is. And I think the biggest topic of conversation is how does he finish the year and how does that go into maybe his next contract? And so that's interesting for sure. Do the Predators give him all the money that he wants? Is he going to be one of the highest paid goalies? He certainly could be. I think he at least earns himself $8 million, possibly seven. I mean, at least seven and a half, you would think. But I think right now, he's positive. He's someone that you can rely on. And hey, if the Preds want to move on from Kevin Lankinen, as great of a backup as he is right now, you know, you could use Kevin in more games for sure. We could possibly see Kevin even play Thursday night. We have no idea. Guess we'll have to find out. So, but I'd like to see even Kevin get more involved, because as good as UC is, Robbie, I think that the more you help a guy like UC, the better off he's going to be long term. And so that's something I asked him about at training camp. And ideally, he doesn't mind how many games he plays, but I'm sure his body does care very much so at his age right now, especially for a goaltender.
You think everybody's old?
I'm
Good
sorry.
Gracious.
Look.
What do you mean at his age?
It's the truth. I know he's not. He's a lot younger than most goaltenders that have had Hall of Fame careers when they're playing really, really well.
He's 28 years old.
I
You're
know.
Ready to call him an old man.
Not necessarily.
Got Oliver Ekman-Larsson, old as dirt, you said, at the age of 32.
Yep.
UC Saros aging out at the age of 28.
What about Joe?
You youngins, I swear.
What about Pavelski? Is he old as dirt?
Pavelski, you probably think, was around when Moses was around, based on the way that you've talked so far in this show. Good gracious.
Maybe Yager is God's best friend. I have no idea.
That guy is a legend. Still going, by the way.
He is still going, yeah.
Still going out there. No, look, Saros, the most intriguing thing about Saros long-term is the contract. Like, are the Predators going to decide to go that route? Are they going to decide at some point to trade him and go with Askarov? Like, what's that decision look like? I mean, the way that Trotz has talked makes me think that UC Saros getting a contract extension at some point is probably going to happen. So we'll see what happens on that front. Keeping in mind, they cannot sign him to a contract extension until July 1st of this year. So they've not even been able to really do that yet. But, I mean, you are coming up on a point where you're going to have to make a decision on that one way or the other. And, look, like I said earlier in the show, it was good to see Askarov get in here last week and get in there and play well. I think that does really good things for his confidence, and we'll see ultimately what that leads to. But I have no concerns about the way that Saros is going to play. I mean, he's had a couple games this year where it's been rough and he's not looked like himself out there. But I do think when he's on, he's still a top five. You can make an argument, maybe top three goalie in the game. So I think that's going to be a big strength for the Predators coming down the stretch here. Your quick thoughts, Nick, as we wrap up here on the Calgary matchup for the Preds tomorrow.
Yeah, should be a fun one for sure. Calgary's always a feisty team, and so I'm interested to see how the Preds respond and who do they dress. You know, is Cody Glass going to get back in the lineup? And if he is in the lineup, who do they take out? Is it a guy like Yakov Trenin? Is it possibly Juuso Parsonen, or is it Kiefer Sherwood? I think a couple of those guys have been playing well lately. Or do you go with, I don't know, I mean, like you could possibly even do 7D man again at some point to see what you have. But then again, I think this should be a fun one. It's 90s night. They're cracking out the, what is it, the wristbands?
Yeah, slap bracelets, man.
Man.
It's going to be awesome.
That should be fun. So, but yeah, definitely take it in if you're going to get to go to the game. They're not going to be home again back-to-back for a very, very long time. So enjoy the game, and hopefully the Preds come out victorious.
Yep, it's going to be an interesting game. We'll see if the Preds can take advantage of those home points and see if that's something they can pull off tomorrow against Calgary. That does it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Penalty Box Radio is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3.